You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 279. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Miguel Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find, get my new album. It's available for pre-order now. It's called Double Happiness. I recorded it at the Friars Club earlier this year. Get it now. It's in the notes to this episode. Show notes, I learned. We've been calling them liner notes for years. Turns out that's
old school.
CDs and records.
Records.
Show notes, someone told me they're called. It's in the show notes this episode. Click the link. Get it on. You can get the real thing. I will send you an autographed CD if you want that.
Ooh, autographed.
I will mail it to you. Cap, your mom just got one. Jan Kaplan.
Did you get her an autograph? You signed her an autograph?
I'm going to. I haven't. The CDs are coming to me right now, but she bought one yet last night. So when it comes, I'll send it to her.
There you go.
The album comes out September 30th, but you pre-order it now on iTunes. That's the big one, because then the more pre-orders we get, the better chance we have of going number one, debuting at number one. Last time we debuted at number two because Jim Gaffigan put an album out the same
bastard
week. And we're not letting that happen again. I double checked he put one out like 6 months ago. So unless he's just a real genius, which he might be, every 6 months would be a lot for Gaffigan. But anyway, turnersparks.com. Go there to get all that. Kaplan, you can find Kaplan on all social media platforms at Cap'n America. Also, Kaplan cannot find his microphone cord right now, so his sound is going to be a little imperfect, but it's fine. Go ahead, Cap.
Yeah, I know. It's the problem is it's the same color as all other cords, and I never throw out a cord, so I have 5,000 cords in my home, so it just blended in and it's gone. I don't know.
But it looks like a microphone cord, right? It looks drastically different from just like a TV cord.
You would think it looks that way, but it does. But I just can't. It's like I'm just looking around. I can't find it. So we're going. Okay. We're going with the AirPods today.
Anyway, whatever. So. No, don't complain to us this week. We know. It's not that big of an issue. We can still hear you. Anyway. On the podcast today, we're talking about. We're learning about Puerto Rico, everybody. Why is Puerto Rico not a state is the question. And do they even want to be a state? We have coming up in a few minutes, Zilla Vandas is joining us from New York City. She is New Rican, as we learned, Puerto Rican, but from New York City, but culturally Puerto Rican. And but before that, Kaplan, if you want to support this show, which I know you do, and we really need the support, patreon.com/lostinamerica for $5 a month. That's it. $5.
What a bargain.
Three, sometimes two, sometimes one extra episode of us every single week.
When it's one, it's a good one, though. It's a really good one.
We make it long. Normally, the show's 30 minutes, but if we're only doing one, we'll do
34.
34 to 35 minutes. But I think last week we did two or three. We're as much we're Cap and I are currently creating. We're adapting this podcast into a TV show. We went down to El Salvador in July. We recorded an entire episode. We hung out with comics down there. We did a show with the comedians. We learned what it's like to have Bitcoin be the official currency of your country. And we're cutting that now into a half hour episode that we're going to be pitching to television networks coming up soon to learn everything about that, to follow along beat by beat. We're not updating you here. You got to go to patreon.com/lostinamerica and subscribe to that show. That's $5 a month. For $10 a month, you get merch. We went to number one in Armenia, all know. So whenever you do that, you make mugs. And we're going to be doing an episode, I think, next week on Armenia.
So we're going to be returning to number one. We're going double platinum.
There. Yeah, but we're going to be finding out. It looks like they may be siding with Russia in this war.
Ooh, so, is that bad for our merch? Should we not be out?
Well, we might just have to become fans of Russia. I mean, if we want to keep selling.
Will we
merch.
Go to number one in Russia if they will we like tag along there? If Putin well, listen, starts recommending
if we go to
us,
number one in Russia, yeah, I'll absolve all
will we make a
to the
map?
United States.
We made a map of Armenia that covers part of Azerbaijan because this is the map that Armenia believes in. We're not
we'll
gonna
find
make a map
out
of
next
Russia
week.
That includes
we,
Ukraine.
No guarantees on whose side we're picking in okay. the war. Up until this point, I've been pro-America. But if we get a couple more Patreon subscribers, we'll see. All right, now, Cap, what do you know? You and I have been looking into the history of Puerto Rico.
We've been going back.
Let's start here. And we have a Puerto Rican. I don't even know if the word is Puerto Rican American, because technically
Puerto Rican is an American.
Yes.
Yeah. I know. So you can't even use that
You're
term. It's
up.
So confusing. It's not a state. It's not a country. It's a
Commonwealth.
Territory.
Commonwealth.
A Commonwealth. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, we're off to a great start.
It's a Commonwealth. in English, it's a Commonwealth, but in Spanish, it's like a
something.
It's a something.
A free
of a
state, or something.
A free state, maybe. Cap, what do you? Here's what I know. And then you can jump in.
Yeah.
Is that if you're Puerto Rican, you cannot vote in the United States. The rules of being Puerto Rican, you cannot vote in the United States unless you live on the mainland of the United States, which I assume includes Hawaii. I don't know.
Yeah, Hawaii and Alaska can vote. We've heard.
So if you're a Puerto Rican and you live in any of the 50 states, that's a good way to say it, you can vote.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you cannot.
And you don't pay taxes unless you work in a government job in Puerto Rico. You don't pay federal taxes, I believe.
That's
a benefit.
Good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And you don't. Like, this is the key to me. When I realized that Puerto Rico was its own country, because we went there as a family when we were kids, and I thought of it as part of America. But when I realized it was its own country was when they played us in basketball. Do you remember they kicked our asses in basketball? In the
oh,
US?
Yeah. Is it Juan?
Carlos
is
Arroyo
it,
was lighting up
Arroyo? Carlos Arroyo? Is he?
Carlos Arroyo, yes.
So they compete in the Olympics as their own place.
They're their own country. I mean, Scotland is their own in soccer. So that's to me, it means they're independent. But then
with the Senate, there's no voting rights in the Senate, but they have a guy who can go to the Senate and watch.
Observer. Like,
observer.
Like a field trip. They send the kids out of. Yeah.
It's so confusing. Let's bring in our guest. She can hopefully clear it up for us. She's the host of Zillavision on Twitch. Everybody check that out. She also has a live show called Brooklawn in New York City. I assume in Brooklyn, called New York City. Everybody, please welcome Zilla Vandas to the show. Zilla, thank you for doing it.
Oh, hello. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
All right.
So
we're going to
tax the taxation part. We'll start from the top. First of all, let me introduce myself. As Turner said, I was not born in Puerto Rico. I was born here in New York City. So I was born in Elmhurst Hospital. My parents are both born in Puerto Rico. So my father is from a place called Orocovis, which is the center of the island, a mountainous area. And then my mother is from a place called Caguas, which is a city. But as you know, they're all citizens. So you can't even say like Puerto Rican American isn't really a term. Also, you wouldn't say that my father was an immigrant, even though he was treated like an immigrant.
Interesting.
Because they are, you know, Puerto Ricans who come to the States are treated like immigrants, but technically they're American citizens. It's all very muddy.
Yeah. Well, I treat people from New Jersey like immigrants. So that actually checks out. And I call them New Jersey Americans.
You call them New Jersey Americans? No.
And they don't pay their taxes either. But
that is crazy. So, okay. Yeah. And then what about the taxes part?
Here's the deal with the taxes. America has a chokehold on Puerto Rico when it comes to trade.
Right.
So Puerto Ricans, so if you move to Puerto Rico, the tax rate, so like, you know, Logan Paul, these people, the tax rate is 4%. But if you're a local in Puerto Rico, because of the debt that Puerto Rico is in, you pay a 35% tax rate on like purchases. So do you see how there's an inequity there? So, and also about voting, Puerto Ricans on the island can vote in an election, but they get zero electoral votes. So they can vote for president, but they get zero electoral votes. And if you're on the mainland, your vote will go towards the electoral votes for the state that you reside.
So if you have, what if you've lived in a state in the past and now, like, you're from New York, but you're living in Puerto Rico. Can you vote from New York?
Absentee? You would have to technically come back to New York and maintain a New York address.
Right.
And then there's also the stickiness of like psychotic people being like, this is voter fraud. You know what I mean? Even though it isn't. The bottom line is that Puerto Rico should get an electoral vote. But I think like a lot of the concepts about tax breaks are they're false, because there's essentially like my dad every Christmas asked for coffee. So we sent him cases of coffee. Because a $3 bag of espresso here, like a brick of espresso, would be worth $7 or $10 on the island.
Because there's tariffs or there's
taxes, bringing it. Like, there's very little industry in Puerto Rico right now.
And so we charge them to bring things in.
Yes. Yeah. So have to purchase all of like their groceries for the majority. They can buy things from the Dominican Republic. Like, so you have. Then you're also going into, so very quickly too, so like some people wonder why on the island they get a lot of produce brought in. The land was exhausted by Domino Sugar, Dole, you know, like, so in the 50s when, okay, so let's take it back to Columbus, right? Shall we?
Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
In 1493, Columbus,
second
just like
round.
He discovered America.
His second time
he come back.
Over.
More hits, right? The remix.
He came back. He discovered Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it the first time. He somehow missed it.
Discovered Puerto Rico. Right. And immediately Puerto Rico becomes this incredible place for military. Like, people want that spot because it's in a clutch place, you know, when it comes to warfare. And that also, America's interest in Puerto Rico also rely on the fact that, like, look at Russia and Cuba. America was definitely not letting go of Puerto Rico as a base because they were always so wary of what was going on between Russia and Cuba.
Oh, Cuba, right.
Yeah. So in 1493, Columbus comes. And if disease doesn't kill the Taino Indians, then Columbus and, you know, the Spanish, they essentially tell them that they must become Christians immediately in order to exist on the island. So there is an incredible kind of like wipeout of that culture, because it was either like, you know, Catholic pray or die, you know, like,
right.
So that kind of had a profound effect. I was raised Catholic.
That's what I tell Kaplan, by the way.
Yeah. Well, they exported the Spanish Inquisition to the New World. So
yes, exactly.
Very nice of them.
Yes. So they bring that vibe over. And then in 1513, they start to bring slaves. The Spanish start to bring slaves. So now you have the Afro, like Latin. That's why you have like a lot of Afro-Latin Latinos all over the Caribbean. And it's always funny when I tell people, like, sometimes I'll tell people, like, my dad is this very specific, like, hardworking type. I get my work ethic from him, and it's like a gift and a curse, because my dad is like just one of those people that's like, no, you always show up to work on time. You always do your best. You always stay late. But I tell people that it's a very Caribbean work ethic. And I've had comics tell me, I didn't know you were Jamaican, because there's this weird disconnect to where Puerto Rico belongs. That makes sense. Like, I feel like people don't really consider it part of the Caribbean. People don't consider it America. So there's a saying, ni de aquí, ni de allá, which is essentially like not from here, not from there. That is common in Latin American countries because of colonizing, where it's like, I'm not from here, but I'm not from there either. I'm kind of like this in-betweener. And I feel like what happens politically is like Puerto Rico is in that in-between zone. And Puerto Rico is a fantastic base for military and has a great resources or had. Like I said, the farmland was exhausted. So I feel like this creates just a myriad of problems for Puerto Rico time and time again.
So then the Spanish run it for like 400 years, right?
Yes.
And yeah. Then in 1898, we have a Spanish-American war, which is a Teddy war Roosevelt. I don't even remember learning about in school. I didn't learn
anything about Puerto Rico in school. Very
little. All off of the Spanish sunk some boats, or maybe they didn't even sink them, and we said, let's go to war. You don't know this whole story?
Not really. I mean, I'm sure. I guess it was maybe like a paragraph in my high school history book that I kind of skipped over that day. So then the war ends. U.S. wins the war, I guess. And in the war, we were given Puerto Rico.
We invaded Puerto Rico. And like right before, I believe, and please don't quote me on this. Once again, New Yorkian, not from the island. I believe the Spanish like let Puerto Rico go. Like they knew America was going to invade Puerto Rico. So they gave Puerto Rico its independence. And for like a sliver of time, Puerto Ricans had their independence. And then
to, like, screw with them.
Yeah. And then, because what were they going to do? So, the Spanish were going to stay on the land and fucking fight the Americans. Like, you know, so the Spanish-American War happens and Puerto Rico becomes part of or under the United States rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next part, this is crazy. So then World War One comes along and the United States government decides Puerto Ricans can't vote, basically, if you're in Puerto Rico, but you can go fight in World War One.
Yeah, 20,000 we read, right?
So we read 20,000 Puerto Ricans in Puerto Rico, not based in the United States.
Now, I'm going to say that, yes, this is true, but also this is like tale as old as time. This is some shit America's done time and time again.
You need fighters.
It is just colonizer bullshit. Yeah. Essentially, they're like, oh, hey, maybe we should treat you a little bit better. We'd love for you to fight, you know, like fight in this war.
Yeah.
And that's once again, kind of like bumps up Puerto Rico because there is an for a lot of older Puerto Ricans, there's this incredible pride that they were able to serve in the U.S. military, even though they were like, your vote doesn't count towards the president, really. Do you get what I mean? Like, as we learned in 2016 and before that is like the popular vote. Yeah. But electoral votes is really where it counts.
Yeah.
So it becomes this thing where like they're also like then the Jones Act happens in 1917 and they're like, you can be citizens. We'll let you guys be citizens, but it doesn't improve really. Yeah. Like, and also in 1917, when they passed the Jones Act, English across the board was made the language of the island. And there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's like, imagine. So I used to be a teacher. Imagine if they showed up with a curriculum in English to people who've been speaking Spanish for, as Turner said, about 400 years. Said, from here on out, we're going to like put you in jail. If you talk Spanish, you got to talk English. And it created this incredible, like almost like a tour Puerto Rican culture apart in all these different directions, because you have people who were like actively like, this is wrong. And then there was other people that are like, well, we want to be, you know, we want to be down with America. We want to be citizens. And I think that divide still exists. There's still people who think that across the board, Puerto Rico should become a state instead
of. Right. Does that exist? Like, is it cultural? Is it like socioeconomic, or is it like age wise? Like, do old people believe it should be, young people not, or how does it break down?
I think the older people are still enamored. There was a point in time, like I recall, I want to say in the late 80s, early 90s, where there was this like big push for Puerto Rico to become a state. And me being a dingbat, real talk, like, you know, when you have a very superficial, like, you know, it's like when you're a little kid, you still think Thanksgiving was just nothing but like a wonderful dinner between two groups of friends. Yeah. So you're like, oh, yeah, I would love. And this is at the peak of like Rocky, Hulk Hogan. What? I want to be down with America.
Sure.
So a lot of people latched onto it. But I think now a lot of people are like, what does that even look like? Because there needs to be transparency. And I would say in my friend group and in my family, I believe it's half and half. It's about 50-50. You got half the people who think it would be a good idea to become a part of America. Hurricane Maria exacerbated that because they felt like they would get help faster from FEMA if they were an actual factual state. Then you have
Trump throwing paper towels at you. So that yes, was, exactly. That was our help.
Not even name brand paper towels. Didn't even bring the bounty. Was tossing a sparkle. Let me tell you, sparkling. I will revolt tomorrow. Yeah. You know, but and that actually, I think that also there was kind of a break there where some people after Hurricane Maria, much older people, Turner, like to your point, I think the older people were like, oh, it'd be really rad if we became a state. And then I think the younger people are like, this is bullshit. And I think activism, which has always been a part of like the Puerto Rican history, like sovereignty, the pursuit of sovereignty, the pursuit of independence has always been a part of the Puerto Rican culture. You know, there was a good run of time where there was, you know, Puerto Rican terrorists were an actual threat to the U.S. government, you know. But I think what's coming back now is at the very least on the island level. So, yeah, Puerto Rico's in a bunch of debt and the youth is just, why the hell should we pay for debt that, like, there's roads that still haven't been fixed by FEMA and Hurricane Maria was in 2017.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
So the people, you say it's 50-50. Would it be the 50% of people who don't want statehood would want independence, or are they split among some people want independence and some people who want the status quo?
I think people have a list of demands, essentially. Yeah. Right. So if you look at the history of Puerto Rico, time and time again, they're given, like, it's almost like when you put a dog medicine or pet medicine into a treat where it's like, oh, here, citizenship. Right. But then, like, what that's like a kind of a distraction. Right. So, like, a lot of times that also created this within a lot of people, you know, there's colorism in Puerto Rico. There's racism within Puerto Rico. Like a lot of the Latin countries have, like, infighting, you know, people are more American than other, like, there's this weirdness and it's a constant split. And I think that's by design. I think the government, like, intends for it to be that way. You know, a place is much weaker if you have so much infighting. So what you have now politically is because of Catholicism, Republicans have a bit of a stronghold in Puerto Rico because there's a lot of old people and they have some ideas that are a little more antiquated. So someone will roll up with these interests. They'll say, oh, well, we're planning to do all these things that are, like, very religious, like based in Christianity. But then they turn around and do things like, I don't know if you saw that. I want to say it's Wanda Vasquez, one of the governors of Puerto Rico, who got kicked out because she was taking money from investors, like, you know, from companies.
Sure about that.
To pick people who were designating where government funding and spending went. So it's like, look at the mess with the electric company in Puerto Rico, not the PBS show. God bless those people. I mean, the people run the lights, Luma. Like, it's like Texas, but on steroids, you know, where they privatized electricity.
Okay.
And now there's just rolling blackouts. And they're like, well, you're going to have to accept that that's a part of your life now. That's horseshit, you know? Like, so I think what people who don't want statehood, they're also looking at Hawaii. Look at something like Hawaii, where, like, the water is preferentially given to hotels because they want to keep... But, like, the locals have, you know, drought warnings and, like, they have to regulate how much water they use. I think Puerto Ricans are, there's people who are looking at Hawaii and seeing, like, well, is that going to be us, but worse, you know, because Puerto Rico's in an incredible amount of debt, but not because Puerto Rico went on a spending spree. It's just, like, all the powers that be that have had a foot.
Which has been poorly run, right?
Yes. Yes. And, yeah, and they haven't been able to make their own decisions. So it's like going back to that governor who was taking essentially payola, right? Mm-hmm. How does that help, you know? So now you're getting, and especially, like, it was catastrophic that Hurricane Maria happened, period. But that it happened during the Trump administration, where, like, that was a free for all of, like, oh, you never ran that before. Come here. We're going to give you a job in Puerto Rico because I like your uncle, or whatever bullshit that politicians do, you know?
Oh, he was just putting people in charge?
Yeah, he was just putting...
Oh, crony.
Yeah,
crony,
you know, friends, people who had, like, never, and then, like, you know, really done things. And so I'll give you an example. Like, my father still lives in Puerto Rico. He has a farm. His roof was destroyed during Hurricane Maria. And FEMA was like, we'll help you fix your roof, but you got to match us up front. Like, you need to, like, we're not going to loan you the money and then you can fix your roof. It's like, no, you got to meet us halfway. So, like, my father was one of the few people that got his roof fixed as quickly as it did because, you know, he's retired. So he had already had a little bit of money put to the side. So, you know, from rainy day fund, he put it towards it. but like, it's just, you have people who are vacating and their property coming. I believe, let me see. I have notes because, you know, once again,
I love a guest with notes.
12% of Puerto Rico's population moved after Hurricane Maria.
So, Hurricane Maria happened in 2017. Just catch our audience up real quick.
Yes.
Right. And
dumb audience.
If this became a big issue, because if Puerto Rico was a state, say like Michigan, when Detroit collapsed, the U.S. government would be like obligated.
Louisiana.
Just Houston.
Houston.
Yeah. Hurricane Katrina.
The fires in California, whatever it might be. The U.S. government is obligated to step in, and there's no debt. It's not like you owe us back. As far as I know, I could be wrong on that, but I don't think these states then owe back. I think it's just part of the obligation of the United States is to help a state. But in the case of Puerto Rico, because it wasn't a state at that time, then there is no, like, strings can be attached and there can be a bunch of stuff involved.
Absolutely. And also there was a delay. I mean, you have like, it's look, like, frankly, let's be transparent. You can feel when a politician has disdain for the people that they represent. You're talking about a man who was like disgusted. Trump was disgusted when he talked about it. It was almost like Puerto Rico was like a divine intervention. It was what the Puerto Ricans deserved. And that's how that kind of unfurled, where it's like, well, I'm so sorry you were a third world country, which it's not. But you know what I mean? That was the whole vibe of people where it was like, oh, well, you know, so 12% of the population leaves. Not because I think what the narrative a lot of some people believe is like Puerto Rico is such a shithole. They really wanted to move to Orlando, Florida. No shade. Mom lives in Florida. She has before the hurricane. She's been stateside for much longer since she was a little kid. But like people left because they couldn't pay their rent. They couldn't. So places like Florida, which needed a workforce, were like, hey, we're, you know, our airport is open. So people left in mass. But what they did was the property value plummeted. And then now you got people, crypto bros, you got Logan Paul, who, because as outsiders, they get a better tax break than even the natives do.
I didn't know when you said Logan Paul earlier.
Yeah, like they're buying properties in Puerto Rico, and it's like this bacchanal. First of all, any place built on cryptocurrency, that's not a positive. It's not going to help the economy. It's going to help the economy of those crypto investors. But is it going to help the economy of Puerto Rico? Like, I would love to live in Puerto Rico. I couldn't Twitch stream because there's no guarantee that I could get the electricity for long enough.
Yeah. So is the Puerto Rican government, because this Logan Paul, who's like a big, to anyone who doesn't know who he is, he's this giant like cryptocurrency guy. Among other things,
I mean, isn't he? He's famous.
Oh, he's my god, a charlatan. That's the best way to say it. He's a blonde little, like, he looks like a boy bander, but he's a charlatan and he's like evil.
And is the local government? Well, I guess we skipped over one part, which is that in the 1950s, is that when the Puerto Rico designed their own constitution?
Yes, but as you said, so like, you know how like I refer to Puerto Rico as a commonwealth because it's the commonwealth of the United States, but you said that like in Spanish, it like free state is a part of the name.
Yeah.
But America refused. Like, talk about like being honest without being honest. They were like, we're going to give you a freedom, but if you put the word free in your name, we're not going to allow that because they're not fucking free.
It's also a little insulting to us. It's like, well, you know, our people, no one's going to speak Spanish anyway. So yeah, whatever you want in your language.
Hey, Pennsylvania is a commonwealth and we're doing okay. So
shout out to Pennsylvania. Say no to Dr. Oz. Say no to Dr. Oz, please, guys.
Oh yeah. Yes. Wegner's. Maybe a grocery store. Go on.
There's a lot of Puerto Ricans actually in Philadelphia. So there's like these like strongholds, Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, where there's a lot of New Yorican, like, or Puerto Rican, like what would be referred to as Puerto Rican American, except that's redundant.
Yes. You know?
And Florida as well. But what we also skipped over the fact that, like, so in the 50s, America kind of made Puerto Rico like a testing ground for lots of things. So as I mentioned, like, domino sugar exhausts the farmland. And actually my father grew up as a sharecropper. He worked with his father for another company. So the fact that he owns his land now is like a big deal to him, because when he was growing up, he merely took care of land that was going to like a, you know, I believe he grew tobacco. So it was like tobacco, sugar. And then also they tested birth control in Puerto Rico. The first round of birth control testing,
like the pills or?
Yes, the pills was done in Puerto Rico, but they told women that it was a pill to lessen their cramps when they menstruated. They like had no clue that it was birth control. Women got violently ill. And the best part about that is when they perfected the pill, America dipped out and was like, oh, but you don't get any. So there's a lot of heartbreak where like, yeah, you become a citizen. Yeah, Hollywood kind of takes off running in the 50s with like this concept of Puerto Ricans, right? Because look at something like West Side Story. For being this teeny tiny island, when it comes to being a part of the pop culture lexicon, Puerto Rico kind of holds, you know, you got Ricky Martin, you got Bad Bunny now, you got Jennifer Lopez, Rosie Perez, but West Side Story was a big deal. But they refer to the Puerto Ricans as immigrants in West Side Story because that's how bad, even then, the knowledge of exactly what the Jones Act did was.
And these are Broadway fans. These are the intellectuals.
Yeah. Even they don't know. And they were like, oh, you know, I'm just like, a, you know, and they, so you look at something like, I know people now are like, you know, I understand the rationale for changing like a production of West Side Story now, but I do think it's super important to keep something like the song America. Like, play that again, Sam, because it's wild. The illusion is that Puerto Rico is a shithole. You would do anything in your power to get away from Puerto Rico and come to America for a much better life, which is like a narrative that is constant. And I kind of feel like becomes a bit of a like, it's a bias people have, like Americans have about Puerto Rico, where they're like, oh, you know, it's a place to go on vacation. It's not a place to live long term, unless you're Logan Paul and you can get a tax break.
Hunter Thompson, The Rum Diaries, great place.
Yes, and also now they're snapping up properties at a great discount because after Hurricane Maria, after everyone left, they started to do these tax breaks because the you know the real estate market plummeted. And what ended up happening, and the most recent fight that I can tell you guys to like, if you go online and like, Twitter is a great resource for this, as is TikTok. Which you won't hear those words come out of my mouth very often, but here we go.
TikTok's a great resource for blank.
They've been selling parcels of beach, which is public land, should be public land. Yeah. So there is a
big land race.
Yeah, there's a big fight going on where native Puerto Ricans show up to a beach and dismantle a fence that's been put up by luxury condos. Mm. They're putting up fences around the beach, like where the locals just aren't welcome anymore. And that's a travesty.
And if it becomes a state, that's going to, you're going to see more of that for sure.
Absolutely. Once again, so that's what I mean. Like for the people that are reticent to become a state, there's many reasons, but there's also look at Hawaii, like what's his name? Mark Zuckerberg owns one of the largest portions of Hawaii. Like that's irrational. Like, you know, that like a native Hawaiian should own the biggest parcel of land in Hawaii.
That's great.
And they fear that that's what's going to happen to Puerto Rico.
All right, let's take a break. Kaplan, we're part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. That is you and me. That is right here, Lost in America
Podcast.
That is also Andrew Heaton and the Political Orphanage Podcast. That is Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy, and she has the Majoring in Everything podcast, which I'm going to be on, finally.
You are.
I recorded it last week. It's coming out in a couple weeks. I asked if I could bring Kaplan. She said, no, he's not smart enough. Just you by yourself. I said, you know what makes sense. I get it. You know,
You know what? I majored in a lot of things, so I'll be on there on my own one day.
You'll be there. Yeah. No, she's talking to me about my album coming out. So anyway, but I did. She said, listen, Kaplan can come any other time. Kaplan. Anyway, besides the point, we're part of the world's.
That blew me off. Yeah.
Go to work. Besides the point of me just taking a random shot at Kaplan in the middle of this ad read, go to worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com. Subscribe to all those shows. And Kaplan, now I ask, we have no ads this week. For $20 a month, you get your own advertisement on this show. We have multiple $20 a month subscribers, but no one's written us any ad copy.
They didn't write the... They didn't write us copy. They didn't.
No one sent anything in. So send us ad copy. We'll read it next week at this time, Kaplan. And now, a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back.
Thank you, sponsors. Keep your lights on.
There we go. Thank you so much, sponsors, for keeping the lights on over here. All right. So I wanted to ask about this. So Puerto Rico has its own, just like a state would have, it has its own Senate, right? And its own Congress.
Yes.
But ultimately, if there's no representation in Washington, I guess it goes to kind of like how much autonomy does it have in running itself?
So one would think on the face, like value, like on face value, it does.
Yeah.
But as we mentioned earlier, like things like payola, corporations coming in, it doesn't really, because essentially a good portion of the politicians in Puerto Rico are thinking for themselves. Well, I mean, that's no different for politicians.
Yeah, that's everywhere.
But in a much, much more immediately catastrophic way. It's like people are so kind to corporations and less thinking of the people. Like there was a mass school closures in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria because a lot of kids just couldn't get to. Do you get what I mean? If FEMA doesn't fix the roads, then you can't turn around and say, well, we don't have the attendance at schools. We have to cut these budgets. So there's time and time again, Native Puerto Ricans themselves are seeing them kind of stepped over to accommodate outside interests.
Yeah. And I read in 2019, or was it 2019 or 17, 18, somewhere in there. I guess at the conclusion, if you want to call it that, of the whole hurricane catastrophe and the how to work it out with the United States government, the U.S. government said, we'll give you 70 billion. Is it 70 billion, I guess? Maybe not. I don't know. Whatever it was.
70,000?
No. It was more than that. A certain amount of money to bail out, essentially bail out Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico filed for bankruptcy, as far as I understand.
Yes, Puerto Rico is bankrupt.
And the U.S. government said, we'll bail you out, but now we get veto power on your entire budget that's made every year.
Yes, so, and that's what, like, it's the illusion. So I once spoke to a friend who has a child, and I said, how do you get her to get dressed every morning so easily? And she said, I let her choose what she gets to wear. But I noticed that this young lady never had like a superhero costume on, you know how like some kids.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait a minute. She never picks these wacky things. And she goes, oh no. She gets choice of two things I've already set out. So you see how like politics in Puerto Rico is like, you guys can choose, but we have final say. That's crazy. And like, this is, I think, a constant. So even look at, like, for example, I'm fluent in conversational Spanish, mm-hmm. and I learned Spanish from watching TV. I learned Spanish from watching telenovelas. I learned Spanish from overhearing my parents speak. But my father, because he was a child in the 50s, he was so convinced that teaching us Spanish would actually be a like stain. Like, so in the 80s, he was like, you know what? I just want you guys to know English as perfectly as possible. Now I'd have to pay to learn how to speak like higher level Spanish, say if I wanted to put that on a job resume. But it's because of the way he was indoctrinated. You know, there's a period of time where like you could never have a Puerto Rican flag. You could only have an American flag. And my father grew up in that time. So you have like this generational trauma of just like so badly wanting to fit in. And now I think as they're older, like my dad, he gave up access to access to a lot of the Medicaid benefits he would have gotten if he would have stayed living in New York. I think now he's realizing, well, you know, this dream that he kept paying into, and he kept thinking that Puerto Rico should say yes to possible statehood being accepted by the United States. When the U.S. was like, we'll bail you out, but you're going to pay the bill with interest and we're going to veto everything you. It's like, it's not free at all. So it's like, actually it'd be kind of demeaning if they would let the American, you know, name for Puerto, you know, the term for, instead of Commonwealth, if it was like, oh, the free state. No, it's, they're not really
not
free.
That.
Yeah.
What is your dad farm?
Oh, my dad currently farms beef. So he grew up farming tobacco. It's actually kind of a magical story. My father, when he was 18, the FFA, the Future Farmers of America, they were looking, the interest in Americans farming like took a tumble. So they were trying to outsource farmers. So they were like, hey, we'll give you a loan. If you come to Middle America and you start farming, He told them he didn't want that loan. He wanted a smaller loan, and he bought the land. He discontinued his father being a sharecropper and then moved to New York to be a cabbie.
Whoa.
And paid the loan back. He like stopped farming altogether.
Totally different.
Yeah. And then he moved to the States, and he's like doing very poorly. He's one of 13 children. So like him and his brothers have this contact, like little network of people who are all struggling in New York, and they're all working together to try to send money back home, make sure he's taking care of his parents. And one night he has a dream. I'm not shitting you. But one night he has a dream, and in it, his mother appears to him and says, play the number 609 in Lotto. He does. He wins $33,000.
No way.
He's able to put the down payment in a house in Queens. And he buys a Trans Am and puts 609 on the vanity plate. And that kind of bumped us up to the, I would say not lower middle class, but like lower middle class. And then for the rest of my youth, my father constantly struggles to pay the mortgage because like, even though he got this like little nest egg, it was like the equivalent of like what some people get when they go to college, you know? So
did he ever play the lottery again?
Yeah. He's like, he never played the lottery again.
You're not going to win twice. You got to.
No, genius. But I will tell you this, and I'm not religious. I'm superstitious in a very superficial way. But when Hurricane Maria happened in 2017, my father lives in the mountains. So I called him a couple days before. And the thing that happened with Maria is there was a hurricane about a week prior that they were trumping up as the big hurricane. And then very little happened. Mm. And it did this really mean thing in that it lulled a lot of the locals into a sense of safety. So when people were like, yo, you need to make sure you have water, you need to make sure you have all this, they were like, oh, we just went through that a week ago. And that was nothing. It was a blip on the radar. So I called my dad like a couple days before Hurricane Maria, and he tells me without missing a beat, I have bottled water and I have a machete. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. Okay. For 35 days, I didn't hear from my father, but I know my dad is like a very stubborn man. And I was like, don't get worried. Don't get worried. But after day 20, I got worried because a lot of like, it became the like cause du jour at work. So people are like, oh my God, did you hear about your father? And I was like, nah, he's good. And they're like, what? You know, like, why do you think that? At one point I had I worked at a school. The principal had a friend who worked for FEMA and like offered, like, tell me your father's address. Maybe we can figure out a way to. And as I'm clocking out of work, this is like 30 days in, I'm about to lose my shit. I started picking up after hours work because I just didn't want to be home to think about it.
Right.
I clock out, and when the card pops up, it was 6:09 p.m. And I go, dad's all right. And he called me the next day.
Whoa. Wow.
You got to teach your dad to check in at Safe on Facebook. And you would have been nothing to worry about. Oh, yeah. Time.
Famously, my father has a flip phone, by the way. He's a farmer with a flip phone.
That's why they have that feature.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're checking in now. There'll be like a earthquake in California. Like New Yorkers are like, I'm safe.
It's
California earthquake.
So he raises beef now and he does well, but he's an old head. And I don't know if you know what that term means in like hip hop, but that means that like one of those people that's like, you youth, you know, like, So he is supportive of the nationalists. Puerto Rican nationalism has always been a big vibe. And like now with Instagram and all these things, that's really gaining traction. So like, for example, Big Bunny, Bad Bunny, arguably one of the biggest acts in the country right now, or like in the world right now, he gave a big, he brought generators so that he could have this massive show for native Puerto Ricans at a stadium, and then just slandered the governor and the electric company. That's a big deal, you know, for someone kind of to just be like, hey, I'm famous, let me use my platform. So like my father sees that and he's like, oh, that Bad Bunny guy, maybe he's not too bad, you know? But at the same time, he also says shit like, oh, nobody wants to farm anymore. That's why this island's gone to shit. Like, it's like, that's such a superficial way of looking at it, you know? He raises beef, sells it to a much larger distributor, but he does well.
That's great.
But every time there's a hurricane, completely wipes out everything he grows, you know?
Yeah. So in 2020, there was a vote, which was non-binding, to say, like, do we want to be a state or not be a state? And 53% of people voted. They did want to be a state, but also most people, or like half the people party, didn't vote at all.
They right? didn't vote if they, right. Didn't people not vote? They were told if they were from the party that didn't support statehood, they were told just don't even vote on this. Is that the,
Yeah. To a lot of the younger native Puerto Ricans, like that was a farce. So it's like, I'd rather not play along. And I got to say that was also at a time where I feel like it's still a touchy subject to tell people to vote. Like, you know, like sometimes I'll be like, oh man, that's why we got to go out and vote, you know? And like, people are like, well, cause it's mired in a lot, you know, like there's a different voting jurisdictions. Of course there's preferential, you know, I think there's a large contingent of people who, if they could vote tomorrow to make abortion illegal in Puerto Rico, they would. Do you get what I mean? There's like, cause right. of religion and like weird, yeah. you know, older, so
Catholic country.
I think a lot of them thought they were being activists by saying, you know what, we're not even going to play along. We're not even going to cast a vote. This is a joke.
So it didn't do. So that didn't mean much.
No, I think they were like testing the waters, which is like for how much that would, I bet you anything, if you asked now, if they redid it, the amount of people who wanted statehood would be much like lower, because if they, I think a lot of the Puerto Ricans who want it to be a state so bad, a lot of them have moved stateside.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing we read, that there's 5 million Puerto Ricans in the 50 state in the states. Right. And then there's 3.4 million in Puerto Rico. So there's actually more. Is that right? Or do I have those flipped?
No, I believe. And that's another thing that kind of shakes the identity of, you know, a lot of people, whenever people ask me if I think Puerto Rico should become a state, I that is not my question to answer. You have to ask the people that live on the island because culturally for me growing up, I got the best of both worlds. Do you know what right. I mean? Like I got to go to a magnet high school in the city of New York and also claim to, you know, I'm Puerto Rican. So it's right. like you have Puerto Rico used to have an amazing college, like University of Puerto Rico used to be like this incredible institution. You can go onto YouTube and watch in the 50s, a tour of the University of Puerto Rico. And it's this like beautiful campus, and they keep cutting funding so bad for Puerto Rico. There was a scandal for the university. There's a scandal recently where Lin-Manuel Miranda got into hot water because they essentially told the students, they did this like big fundraiser for Puerto Rico, but mostly for the Americans of Puerto Rico, where they had Hamilton, like one night only.
Oh.
And they, to set it up,
Hamilton.
They redirected almost all of the theater students' classes for like almost the entirety of a semester. Do you know how heartbreaking right. it is for those kids? You know what I mean? Like,
so it's like for one night, they so lost they their
one own. Night of Hamilton with,
but Hamilton was Puerto Rican in this performance.
Well, I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda, famously yeah. Puerto Rican, you know? There so you it's go. Like, I think, and that's the type of thing that they hate, that people who live in America do as Puerto Ricans, right? Because think about that. Lin-Manuel yeah. probably thought he was doing something fantastic.
Right. He was being like a do-gooder in his mind.
Yes. He was. I'm bringing the spotlight to Puerto Rico. At the time, Hamilton was like a crazy fanatical following. But what he didn't go on the ground. He didn't go to the university and speak to the kids and to the professors who are like barely making ends meet, because
right. he gets a tour of the best spots. And
there was a teacher in Puerto Rico, I don't recall his name, who died driving to work as a teacher, because teachers in Puerto Rico get paid so badly, he had to pick up night shifts as a security guard. And that created a big, a bunch of protesters. Teachers protested. They got pepper sprayed right in their faces. Teachers. But, you know, like that's the thing. I think if Lin-Manuel had kind of been more mindful to that,
yeah,
you know, and like, but again, under the impression, so that happens often. So yeah. like, they don't want to hear me chime in, and they shouldn't.
Yeah.
I benefit from being a citizen of the United States that lives in a state, you know?
And do you think, because you touched on it a little bit about the idea of being a state, I feel like in America, a lot of Democrats want Puerto Rico to be a state. It's cynical. They just think like, we'll get two Democratic senators, get some more blue voters, electoral college. But do you think it's that simple? Or because, I mean, you've meant there was a Republican governor about a decade ago. There are Republicans. It's Catholic country. So is that careful what you wish for kind of thing?
I absolutely think this is, in a lot of ways, And I am a registered Democrat. And I say that with like pause because the last. When I was in college, like, you know, when I turned 18, I was like, of course, Democrat, you know, like, and I had bought into the two party system. And I don't believe like that functions at all, as we can see. But I think what they're essentially setting themselves up for is like, this is like thinking Trump would have won in 2016. Like, what are you talking about? You think that's in the bag, my guy? You know, like, there's no guarantee. It is a very Catholic island still. And also with how many interests they've allowed to permeate the, like with getting payments from corporations, that's exactly, you're going to end up with a bunch of Christian cinemas with just Spanish names. You know what I mean? Where it's like, La Cinema or whatever, you know, like, so you're going to end up, there's a good chance you can end up with people who, I'm Democrat. Yeah, I got you. But then because they have, they're say close to Wall Street or they're close to, you know, Puerto Rico has a rainforest that I've been there. Many countries and so many companies want to get their mitts on. They Kaplan would love.
Well, is it a nice rainforest? Because I will say the one time we were there, we got like cons in our family trip where they said trip to rainforest. And we famously took a bus a few hours to the rainforest. And we went up onto like a tower to look at the rainforest. And then we got down and back in the bus and we drove away. It was like a trick where you didn't go in the rainforest. You got to see it.
Well, because... The native Puerto Ricans would prefer, because the rainforest regulates so much the temperature on the island. So they're looking to kind of keep it as pristine as possible. But that's
so we're trying to ruin it.
You don't want the Kaplan family?
You don't want the Kaplans?
No. So, so many
stepping on endangered butterflies.
But this is like, you know, this is like when an outside company is like, hey, can we put a Starbucks in Grand Canyon? And we are getting closer to those.
Great idea.
You know what I mean? Like, we're getting closer to like, well, we got to let this land that was protected go because we made an agreement with Exxon that we're like, even now look at like electric cars, right? Okay. We're going to do this whole push for electric cars, but in the fine print was, but we got to give the oil companies these protected lands in exchange, you know, like, and that's happening.
Joe Manchin made that happen.
Yeah. And that's happening here. Imagine what's going to happen in Puerto Rico if history has been in any indicator. You know, so it's worrisome.
Is there I read that actually Puerto Ricans now are more important voting bloc in the United States than ever before because so many have moved to Florida.
Oh, yes. Orlando is like a hotbed of it.
Where's that?
Yeah, I didn't know that until you told me.
Yeah, no, Orlando Airport. I went to go visit my mother sometime after the hurricane. And she's originally a New Yorker, moved to Orlando to for work and then retirement. And I went to the airport and there was a booth, like a whole, it looked like a whole, like almost like a DMV equivalent in the airport. And it had all the signage, which was, it was like this welcoming, like place. So like essentially people, Puerto Ricans were flying to Orlando Airport and immediately getting subsidies and things like that to kind of go and get settled in Florida because Florida was, you know, needed the workers. Because so much, and that's, I think, another fear for Puerto Rico is like, we don't want Puerto Rico to become Hawaii also in that it becomes a destination rather than a community place that takes care of its own like people. And Hawaii's got a wonderful community that's like little by little falling apart because the interest of like the Four Seasons comes before them. So I think that's like, well, people were welcoming them to Orlando. So there's a lot of Puerto Ricans in Orlando now. And it's, I think some, you know, of course, there's going to be bias. People see it as a bad thing. I think it's a great thing. If they're happy here, that's all that matters. But let's look at what's happening on the other flip side of that. All of the places they vacated have now been turned into Airbnbs. And I live by the beach in New York now. And I can tell you that living in a destination zone is murderous whenever it's the off season. It's terrible. You know, like I have a limited amount of businesses that I can frequent locally because they're all closed for the... It's not summer. Nobody's coming.
You live at Rockaway Beach?
I live in Rockaway Beach.
Oh, I love Rockaway Beach. We were looking at places over there.
That will also, that the fear is like, it's great that Puerto Ricans are moving to the United States. There's no, you know, there's no harm in that. But
the fear is that we're going to move there.
The fear is that then
what boomers are going to head to Puerto Rico.
So, you know, those locks that have the codes where you get the keys in when you get to an Airbnb? If you go to the historic part of Puerto Rico, almost every apartment, every building has one of those locks.
Oh, so they already are all Airbnbs.
They're already Airbnbs.
We've already ruined it.
Yeah. And I mean, there's outside stuff that comes to Puerto Rico and does a good thing. My father, for example, there was nothing in his town. Nothing. I remember when they installed streetlights in the 80s in my father's town. Now, some guy found a part of the mountain area that he thought would be a good BMX run. It's an incredible X Games like location. People go there to zip line for a couple of years. They had the longest zip line in the world in this part of Puerto Rico. Yeah, those are good. They generate business. But like looking at something like a place that's already populated and taking that because it's by the beach, because you want an oceanfront property for 2 months a year, that's wrong. You know,
I'm surprised casinos have not gotten into Puerto Rico.
Casinos are big in San Juan. So
they
like,
they have casinos. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But then you also look at something like, so Vieques, for example, my grandfather on my mother's side is from Vieques. Vieques is this tiny island. They got slammed during Hurricane Maria. So in the budgetary vetoes, they vetoed building back their hospital. So you live on an island that you got to take a ferry to. So that means if you have a heart attack, you're just going to die on the island because there is no hospital on the island of Vieques. And that's little ways that, and I already know because I saw the gentrification of Bushwick firsthand because I grew up in Bushwick. So here's what I think is going to happen. I think if Puerto Rico ever becomes a state, it's going to be when all the Anglos already take up so much part of it that it's just to the benefit of everyone who's there, not necessarily the native Puerto Ricans, if it ever does happen. So I think Vieques will get a hospital when Logan Paul owns enough of Vieques.
Yeah. And he wants a hospital.
That's your tipping point.
Yes.
Well, because the wing in the hospital named after Logan Paul because he's donated enough money.
Because I can tell you point blank, when I grew up in, when I was in Bushwick in the late 90s, early 2000s, we had a terrible supermarket. And if you've ever been to New York, you know that as soon as they start selling coconut water and wine at your supermarket, rent's going through the roof.
So almond butter.
Yes.
Kale.
I bet you anything, they'll ease up on taxing food when there's enough Americans, like born in America, non-Puerto Ricans, living in Puerto Rico, and they complain.
That's the key. When we start complaining,
that was going to be it. I mean, that was going to be my final question was, is there ever a chance for it to become a state? And this seems like the answer, right?
Oh yes. I think if the financial interests if it benefits America, absolutely. I would hope at the end of the day that, and in a real way, not this, like we're saying you're free, but you're not really.
Yeah.
My one wish for the island of Puerto Rico is that they get a fair vote and let the people decide, and whatever shakes out from that, we go from there.
A vote for independence or a vote for statehood or whatever.
Let the people, the natives who have stayed on the island, you know.
I had one question because you mentioned it earlier that we started this program to teach everyone English, but do they, because I read that it was only 20% of the island is fluent in English now. Is that accurate? Or
yes, because there was a pushback. Then they were like, no, you can have your flag back.
Okay.
Yes. You know, like you can have your flag back because we also realized that maybe the resources is what we're more after, right?
Oh, okay. Like, we don't care that much about
and that's
language,
what I mean. There's kind of this like ebb and flow. And there's the idea that like, well, we wouldn't have all these schools if Americans hadn't built them. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's just like kind of, it's very much mired in like a confusion even. I think most people who live who are born and raised in the States and are Puerto Rican, they have zero knowledge of how kind of uneasy and hard to decipher the history of Puerto Rico is.
You know?
And it's a lot of information to cram. There was a movement for Puerto Rican nationalism in the 70s. They took their notes. This is a group called the Young Lords from Chicago who took their notes from the Black Panthers. And that kind of, there was this like really big uprising of Puerto Rican nationalism, but that got stamped down, you know, relatively quickly because it's not to the benefit of America, you know, COINTELPRO. So all the stuff that took down the Black Panthers, took down the Young Lords and any functional attempt to get Puerto Rican, like freedom, nationalism, like, you know, nationalists, it's always kind of vetoed because the business interests.
I mean, it seems like it would take like a military or something at this point. I don't see the US government just giving up Puerto Rico.
No. And back to the whole like weird, wait a minute, I thought So in the 90s, in early 2000s, Vieques, they gave the island of Vieques back to Puerto Rico. I don't know if you remember this. It was a military base. And they were like, no, you can have it back.
Okay.
I talked to my grandfather. He does not have the physical deed to his land. So they got the land back. The U.S. government refused to issue them a paper. Wow. And this is something that is similar to what happens in Hawaii. Because in Hawaii, I believe the culture, the system of doing it is like it's spoken. It's like, we agree that you have this land within between Hawaiians that are from Hawaii.
It's like an oral agreement.
Yes. And in Puerto Rico, you can in Vieques, you can own your land until you die. Because then what are your kids telling the government? Oh, this is my father's. And then America's like, no, you don't have the paperwork for that. So that's what I mean. It's this like kind of bait and switch always.
And you can't sell it to someone else if he doesn't have the physical paper, right?
No, he can't. And he eventually had to leave. He sold the house that he built on it. That's the thing. He couldn't put a property value on the land because he could only put a value on the house.
So who owns the land? The U.S. government, basically?
Well, essentially, it's like then it's now you have Americans who are moving to Vieques and they're fighting for the piece of paper because they have the money to get the lawyers. See.
So that's when change happens.
This is what I mean. Yeah,
exactly. Yes. When Americans.
Crazy. Wow,
it's a lot.
So that's a good point, Turner. You need money sometimes to enact actual change. And Puerto Rico's bankrupt right now. So what do you think is going to happen?
Exactly. How is Puerto Rico in comparison? How are they doing? I know it's like bankrupt and things are bad, but in comparison to the other island nations around them, are they, because they're connected with the U.S., are they wealthier or is there any difference or poorer?
Compared to like Jamaica or Dominican
Republic?
So
in solidarity with those other nations, I would say that you grow up as a Puerto Rican from the States, you grow up thinking that like, oh, well, Puerto Rico, you know, it's better like somehow. Mm-hmm. But that also just leans into that weird like infighting. Like it's very easy to colonize a country that is bickering amongst themselves.
I didn't mean like better or worse.
No. Like, but like, so what I mean is, I think optically, like if you, I don't know if you, I'm older than you guys, but like in the 90s, they used to do these Puerto Rico tourism commercials, similar to the Jamaica ones. Remember they used to do the One Love commercials?
Yeah.
They had like Puerto Rico, the shining star. I think
it's what my family saw and we came for that.
Yes. So like, I think there might be more dirt road.
Point us towards the rainforest.
My mom, Jane Kaplan,
tromp around in it.
I think there might be more asphalt in Puerto Rico, right? That's how we equate it, where it's like, oh, but the roads are drivable. But in Jamaica or in DR, when they make a decision about their own country, they voted on it.
Because Puerto Rico is per capita. I know it's like poorer than any American state, but I'm curious if it's wealthier than.
I mean, like, you know, then you also have like, say, like with DR and Cuba or Haiti split in half. Like, there's a lot of other. But I feel like at the end of the day, every single one of the issues that every one of the countries in the Caribbean has, like if there's anything wrong with Jamaica, I blame the British. And if there's anything wrong with Haiti, I blame the French. So
Puerto Rico,
like,
you blame us.
I blame America. And that includes me. That's the most tripped out thing. Because I remember like I had a conversation with someone who was like, well, I don't consider you Puerto Rican because you weren't born on the island.
Yeah, from here.
And you're from here. And I was born here. This was a boomer told me this. And I'm from here. So I call myself American. I don't call myself Puerto Rican. He goes, my parents who were born on the island are Puerto Ricans. And I said, when were your parents born? And he said something like 1930. I said, the Jones Act of 1917 means your parents is Americans too. Look at what did you even? It's all nonsense, you know? Well, in so many ways.
Semantics. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's by the way, the best analogy that stuck with my brain this whole time was your analogy about your friend and getting their kid dressed. That's because I'll tell you this right now. I feel as a dad, we let our kids wear whatever they want. So that's what you want. You want the American government to become more like dads out there. You just pick out, you can mismatch whatever you want. But every mom, it's too, you get maybe too close. Then how my wife is. So
I laid out all the clothes on the bed.
Yeah. You can choose. No, there's no laying on them all. As a dad, I'm like, just go in the drawer, get a shirt, get a pair of shorts.
That's why they all dress like Spider-Man when they come in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Right. And with the capes, you know?
Dylan, that's the show. Thank you.
Yeah, no, by the way, real quick, I got to say, I love a good dad fit, though. When you could tell a kid's dressed by a dad, it's hilarious. Yeah.
You can always tell. In our family, you can always tell, believe me. My wife will be like, why is it? They don't even match. They're not, he's wearing different socks. Didn't you check? No, I just said get dressed.
I should say, too, speaking of the allegiance with the islands, did you hear that? So the Prince William and like Princess Kate went to Jamaica a couple months ago.
Oh.
Yeah. Thinking they would get this like hero's welcome as they always do. And they just got booed and people threw fruit at them.
When the royals show up any spot and they come with the pomp and circumstance, they like, you're like, hey, what the fuck are you doing?
Like, who are you? I completely argue with my mom about this. My mom like loves the royal family. I'm like, they're nothing. They're nobodies. They're people who were born into this thing. They never did anything to accomplish. Why are we honoring these people?
Why no, in Jamaica would they be going nuts for them? Yeah.
No, and I have to say, of the one thing I will say, like when we talked about like comparing, and once again, like I said, like all the Caribbean nations, all the island nations, the one thing that's wonderful is that like you have this pocket of fierce nationalism. And you know, the Jamaicans who were not playing with the British, they let it be known. And that's kind of beautiful, you know? I mean, the royals will still be the royals. They still have one diamond that's like, could cure any small island nations like debt, you know, but I'm glad that Jamaica let them know kind of like, yeah, get out of here. Come on, take a hike.
That's it. That's the show. Zilla, thank you so much for doing it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And I just want to say very quickly, if you are a Puerto Rican from the island and you disagree with anything that I said, please DM me, message me. I'm always willing to learn. And I just tried my best to represent. Thank you guys for having me. This has been dope.
I don't know if you want to answer this, but how do they find you on Instagram? DM you.
No, absolutely.
So, email. Where's the email coming?
Yeah, no, absolutely. DM me, please, at Zilla Vodnus on all socials and also Zilla Vision on Twitch. Like I said, I welcome any discourse. I'm always open to learning. You know, I taught high school for 10 years in the city, and I understand that like history, as we've been taught it in American schools, is most often wrong or skewed and definitely biased. So if you have anything to input and you want to correct me on anything, I'm willing to hear.
Sweet. Thank you so much, Zilla. Thanks for doing it. Kaplan, that is it. What should we do?
Yeah, I love that. Leave us negative reviews, please, everyone. As long as you're talking to us. We like engagement. And
yeah, feel free to send us hate mail too. We'll take it.
Yeah, DM us or YouTube, anywhere you want to leave it. In the meantime, let's get lost.
Get lost.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.